Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. This is Catherine Cresson with Beyond Words Live. This show is designed to be a platform for survivors to tell their story in their own words. Without further ado, let's see who our guest is today.
Today, we have with us Martha coming forth today to talking about what she brought into the passion for activism for women's rights, what she has done within that time frame, and what her hopes are for the future. I will bring Martha on in just one second. Martha.
Good morning, Martha. Catherine.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm enjoying this sunshiny day for a change of pace. Well, I guess the best way to start is probably just starting from whatever inspired you to get involved with activism in the first place.
When you really start to pay attention to what's going on in our beloved Texas,
right?
You have no choice but to get active and do whatever you can to stand up for people who are being ignored in the process of the political scene.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
go ahead.
So I got involved.
Well, that's great. And, you know, getting involved is wonderful. At what ways did you start getting involved, perhaps?
You know, I had always had an interest in politics going all the way back to elementary school. When I was in fifth grade, the Nixon scandal was happening, Watergate and all that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A grade teacher made a lesson of it in the classroom, and for some reason it just marked something on me, and it just made me start to think about and to watch politics from that early age. But life went on, and I grew up and became a mother and got busy and really wasn't paying a lot of attention for a lot of years until Rick Perry mandated in, I believe it was 2004 or 5, that 12-year-old girls in this state be vaccinated with, oh, I forget the name of the, against cervical cancer.
Right.
And then I started to, As a protective mother, I started to question why the state should be able to tell me what I can or shouldn't do with my daughter.
Exactly.
She luckily was able to opt out of that mandated vaccination because she was a cancer patient at the time. But other young ladies were not so fortunate as to be able to opt out. And now all these years later, I've read a story or two about some side effects that were unknown at the time that Gardasil has caused in these young women, adverse side effects. And that really got my dander up, and I started paying attention. And then in 2011, when our legislature passed the sonogram bill that makes it necessary for any young woman seeking an abortion to go through an necessary sonogram, that's when I really started becoming active. That was going over the line as far as I was concerned. The government should not in any way be in the middle of a decision that should be between a woman and her family and her healthcare professional.
Absolutely. I mean, we should have our rights over our own bodies. You know, that, you can take a lot of rights away, but, you know, you really draw the line when you affect our body.
That's definitely crossing a line.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we as individuals have choices, and we can cut our hair short or long or, you know, whatever. But, I mean, don't try to tell me what to do with my own body. You know?
Thank you very much.
Well, how did you get involved? What were some of the steps that you took to get involved?
At that time, in 2011, I wasn't connected in any way to any political entity at all. I just felt like I was all alone in this fight. I didn't know even where to begin to fight back. I didn't know how. Until I started noticing on social media, on Facebook specifically, some women that I was friends with talking about big rallies being planned in the capitals of all 50 states, women's rights rallies. And so a group was formed here in the Austin area of women who would put together the Texas rally, and I became involved in that core group of women who organized our women's rights rally at the Capitol in Austin in April of 2012. And because of that rally and the organization that I involved myself in, I connected to my local Democratic Women's Club, went to one of their meetings, brought the news of the rally to them, and have been involved with local Democratic clubs ever since. And we had an enormous rally in April of 2012, and that was the catalyst for getting me, you know, bringing me to all the work that I've involved myself in from then until now. And I'll never look back. I'll never forget that experience. It was thrilling. It empowered me to know that so many other women and men alike were like-minded in this state and wanted to work hard like I want to work to change the course of politics here in our beloved state.
Absolutely. Were you one of the people that were actually in the chamber, or did you come about as a result of everybody being in the chamber?
Are you talking about the
filibuster?
Yeah. During the filibuster?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, yes. I went to the Capitol. I got, again, through social media,
right.
I got a notification from NARAL Pro-Choice Texas, who I follow on Facebook,
right,
that testimony would be heard that evening. It was a Thursday. It was special session summer of 2013 after the 83rd legislature had closed. They went into special session, and they were debating. Rick Perry had brought back this HB 2, the 20-week abortion legislation that had been defeated, hadn't even been brought to the floor. Honestly, it hadn't been defeated at all. It never made it to the floor. It was killed in committee during the regular session. Well, for, in my opinion, a political ploy, he brought it to special session, and so we knew we had to stand up against this egregious legislation, this horrible legislation for women of the state, and fight back. So my daughter and I went to Austin that Thursday evening and prepared testimony on the way, and got there, signed up to testify at that House State Affairs Committee. We stayed. There were so many people that showed up for that, both pro-life people and pro-choice people. So we waited hours on end, listened to testimony, and our names never were called until Lizzie Burr with the Capital Area Democratic Women texted Jessica, she's a House Representative, Jessica Farrar, was on the that committee, the House State Affairs Committee, and she moved our names up, and my daughter was able to testify that evening, and she lit up social media with her testimony. She was very passionate, and she set that room on fire that night. I ended up never being able to testify before we had to leave at 3 a.m., but the testimony of all the women and men that didn't get to testify that night was compiled into binders that Wendy Davis, Senator Davis, read from during her famous 11-hour filibuster when the Senate, when the bill finally made it to the Senate floor, and she tried to defeat it, or she did defeat it with her famous filibuster.
Right.
So my testimony was read by Senator Davis that evening. I was fortunate enough to be in the chamber. I came from, I live 45 miles south of the Capitol building in Caldwell County, and I had been at the Capitol through everything up to that time. The day of the filibuster, I had something going on that morning, so I wasn't able to travel to Austin till later in the day. By the time I got there, the line to get in the Senate chamber was wrapped around the rotunda and then further. So I waited, of course, but was never able to get in there. And so I retreated down into the basement of the Capitol where they had a big screen set up, and they were live streaming the activity that was going on in the chamber. And that's where I watched the rest of the filibuster, the hearing.
Wow.
What a day. I'll never forget it. It was probably one of the most thrilling experiences I've ever lived to see.
Yeah, I know. I watched some of it from home. They had it on TV constantly. I have lymphedema, so my legs were just really swollen at that time, and there was no way to, like, stand up for hours.
Right.
But I so wanted to be a part of it, and I was like, yes, yes, yes.
Well,
it's very exciting to
of people that were watching by live stream were a part of it. People were glued to social media and the live stream all over the world. Twitter was trending that night. Even the president tweeted about it. That was, that was what you were doing that night. If you knew anything about politics in this country, you knew that was happening in Austin, Texas that night. And I'm getting choked up just thinking about the how lucky it was that I was actually able to be there in person to witness it. To witness the Capitol building actually shaking from, what was going on inside that building. Hundreds of people, just passionate and in their stance, trying to defeat this horrible bill that would oppress our women even further.
Absolutely. And it's just, I think it's just phenomenal. The masses of people that came out of nowhere. And, Austinites tend to get involved a lot of times. I mean, that's part of the reason why we're here in Austin is to be involved. But it seemed like busloads of people were coming in from, I don't know where, maybe Dallas and Houston or wherever, which is really exciting to be in that city, in the city at that time, of all this hoopla, that's going on that everybody's getting really passionate about.
Because of the mess of social media, like-minded people realize that the situation is dire, that unless we stand up and start working to elect people who will better represent us, what are we going to do? I mean, we have to do something. We can't let this stand. We can't sit back and let these extremist politicians who use our livelihoods as their political playmanship to stand. They have to be dealt with. They have to answer to us. And that's all we were trying to do that night.
Exactly.
Were called unruly mobsters, amongst other even worse things. How dare our elected officials look upon us So derogatorily, when we're just so, so tired and we're finally standing up to say enough.
Absolutely. And, I mean, this wasn't just an overnight thing. I mean, for decades we've been, you know, fighting for rights to vote and, you know, all kinds of different rights. But it seems like every kind of circumstance that is taking place, it gets closer and closer to home, our bodies. And, you know, it's like, okay, well, we can't take away your vote. We're going to take, you know, do this to you now. Or, well, if we can't do that to you, we're going to do this to you. And it just keeps on going. And it's like, you know, gets into your personal space.
Yes. Yes. It's very personal.
Yeah.
Very personal indeed. And it doesn't impact me, you know, reproductive issues don't impact me personally any longer. But I have a daughter who is of childbearing age. I have nieces. They have children. Friends have daughters. It's about our women. It's about, it's not about me. It's what they're, what our legislators are doing is to our women is wrong. And it doesn't even take just being simply a woman to see that or want to fight back. I've known many, many men who become involved in this fight alongside us.
Mm-hmm.
I love them. I'm so thankful for them.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you mentioned the after effects of the shot that all the people, the girls had to take that were like, what, 12 to 15 years old,
yeah.
I think, in Texas. Do you remember what some of those side effects were? I don't remember, because my daughter was past that age at that time.
There were, I don't remember off the top of my head, Catherine, but it's been some time ago now, years ago now, since I looked into it, you know, a couple years anyway, when I just started hearing rumors, hearsay, that there were some stories. So I looked into it, and indeed I found proof that there were some stories out there of girls that have had suffered some side effects that had been linked back to that particular vaccination, Gardasil. So I knew that my fears were founded initially. It just seemed to, I'd never heard of it. I mean, it was just new on the market, and all of a sudden Governor Perry is signing an executive order that says we have to vaccinate our girls with this. You know, I my radar went up, and I just, you know, I just said no, no, and my doctor backed us, so her oncologist backed us, so luckily we escaped. You know, because of the chemo that she'd already had for 2 years prior to that, I was unsure as to what that, you know, what that vaccination would do with the chemo medicines that were already in her system. And, of course, her oncologist agreed that there was no way that we were going to risk that. He didn't even know that much about Gardasil at that time, and so he was quick to give us the option out of that mandate.
Right. Is it still being required, even though the side effects are in place, or, I mean, being founded?
Yeah. It's not
really
been rolled back. It's not been rolled back at all.
That's such a shame, you know, because it's affecting so many people's lives. And
well, and we are clear on the reasons why, aren't we? The fact that Governor Perry received a big campaign donation from Merck Laboratories, the makers of Gardasil. And so, you know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. In return, he was going to make sure that every Texan family had to pay to receive that or to get that vaccination for their daughters. And Merck Laboratories makes big bucks.
Yeah. Well, they make big bucks anyway, so.
Yeah.
But
well, he ensured that they made plenty more with that one you know, swoop of his pen across that executive order.
Mm.
And that kind of cronyism is, his years have been full of cronyism. Think about everything that his cronyism has, every way that it's impacted the people of this state. That's just one small instance of cronyism and how it negatively impacts the people of our state.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so tired of corruption in our government.
I am too. Go ahead.
And I just want to drive the point home that it serves no one. It only serves to oppress the people of any jurisdiction.
Absolutely.
And it's rampant in our state government. And a new administration that was some sworn in last week, and the governor-elect, mm-hmm. and Dan Patrick will be sworn in next week. It makes no difference. It's all still, you have to watch everything they do and scratch the surface a little bit to find out why they're doing it. It's, you know, it's in 9 times out of 10, it's to benefit their political donors.
And not that any, you know, politician in the past decades have been absolutely angels, but it seems more rampant nowadays. It seems like some of their values have left the building, so to speak,
yes.
A lot more. I don't know if it's people getting more involved and noticing more and having a greater perspective over things, or that they are really getting more and more corrupt. I don't know what the real perspective
it's
on
always
that is,
been
but,
that way.
Yeah.
It's always been that way. It's too easy when you become powerful not
mm-hmm.
to give in to the lure of the power. You know, it
and the greed, right.
Changes you. It's too tempting to pass up for most,
yeah.
most politicians fall right into it, no matter how they go in with such good intentions. That power, the lure of everything that power can bring you, the riches it can bring you, the prestige it can bring you, it's too tempting for, you know, a lesser man or woman.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, here's a good example. One of mm-hmm. the state representatives from the Hurst-Euless-Bedford area, his
mm-hmm.
name is John Stickland, and he voted for HB2 against us. He's very pro-life. He's a Tea Party Republican. He was a high school dropout and was working as a technician for an extermination company. And then he ran for state representative in that district and won with the backing of the Northeast Tarrant County Tea Party. And here he is in 2013, a freshman representative, and the oil and gas industry cozy up to him and promise him all these incentives. So now here's a high school dropout who is now a consultant for the oil and gas industry, making a salary from that position and profiting off of that industry here in our state, which has had such a boom as of the last many years. That's crony politics in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Couldn't turn his back on the lure of the power and the glory of the fame that he received by being elected to office in this state.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are some of the ways that people can get involved? I know I myself love to get involved at the Capitol because, you know, getting involved with contacting the legislators and going and meeting them in person a lot of times and calling them is very effective most of the time. Not all the time, but at least getting your voice heard is the most important thing. Letting them know that you are a constituent. But what are some of the other ways that people can get involved?
Yes, being in contact with your state representative and your senator is a very good thing and necessary thing to do. It intimidates a lot of people. I understand that. And you don't you have to say anything profound. Just send them a note, you know, just a thank you note or a hello note or whatever. Get the ball rolling. But do indeed forge a relationship with those two people, even if they are, you know, in the opposing party. You still want them to know that you're here and that you, you know, are passionate about certain issues and will be watching how they act should any legislation regarding that issue come up. You know, they definitely do need to know that you're watching them and want to hold them accountable. But other ways, the best way that I can say to any of your listeners to get involved is locally. All politics are local. We have got to go to the Democratic Party of our county, any Democratic club that may be organized in that county, and involve ourselves. Our county party chair has the duty to train on the VAN, which is the Voter Activation Network. That's where you find a database full of all the people that have voted in your area. And you get involved in the VAN and start, you know, making, forging relationships with your community. We've got to re-engage our community in the process. We have to have people going to the voting booth in every election. Certainly the state elections where we elect state leaders like governor and lieutenant governor and the representatives and the senators. Go get involved with the organizations that are in place in your county. You need to know those people. You guys need to become best friends. I've made many lasting friendships here locally, and we have started to do some really exciting work here in Caldwell County, and we'll continue to do so until we see some progress in this state. I personally would like to see statewide voter turnout of better than 60% of all registered voters. Right now, it's flip-flopped. It hovers right around 30% in a presidential election year. Just think about in an off year, in the midterm elections, it dips even lower than that, which is abysmal.
Right.
It's embarrassing. That's why we're in the condition we're in this state and sinking fast because people aren't voting. And, you know, we've got to reengage our community, our friends, our neighbors in the process of voting.
Right. And it's not enough
just knock on doors. Just go knock on doors. I did it all election season for Wendy Davis and Leticia Vandepute and local candidates as well. Knock on doors. When you start to learn to work the van, you can print lists and you go out door by door and just knock. Knock on Democratic voters. They're friendly people. They won't turn you away. They won't, you know, slam the door in your face. They'll entertain you and they'll listen. You've got to form those bonds with your community so they'll trust you and they'll go vote.
Absolutely. There's so many people sit back and, you know, watch everything happen before their eyes, and then they're complaining about it. But did they get out and vote? Not likely. And, you know, it's just really frustrating to hear those people that don't vote and yet they're the ones that are crying the loudest sometimes.
Most times that is the case.
Yeah.
To vote if you want to see change.
Exactly. Well, I remember when my daughter got real involved, she was finding Obama signs, and we were in our apartment complex, in our apartment building, happened to face a baseball field. So she put these signs out on our balcony and was just really getting involved and getting excited about being able to vote for the first time, and really just taking forth and taking charge. And it was exciting to see that excitement in her at that time. I'm not sure that I've seen that much excitement in some of the young, you know, teens and adults since that time. Not that same level of excitement, but we do need to get them involved. I don't know how many times we get to their high schools and get them to vote, you know, signed up to vote.
By law, the Secretary of State says that by law, high schools in Texas have to be registering their 18-year-old students every year. Mm-hmm. That every high school campus should assign a voter registrar that handles all that. Typically, it's a government teacher. Mm-hmm. And I've found in my research that many high schools aren't doing this and aren't even aware of this law. And so I have made it a part of my work to reach out to high schools to remind them of the statute that they should be following. And I've gotten many of them to come online with doing this.
Unfortunately,
my own high school here and where I live won't let me come and talk to the students or even help with the voter registration, which is fine. Getting them registered gets them on the rolls, and then, you know, we can start calling them and
mm-hmm.
meeting, going to their doors and getting them, you know, talking to them about the issues. What you have to do is you have to find issues that are important to that individual.
Right.
You know, I have found that if I'm talking to a younger person about the fact that the Texas Democratic Party platform includes decriminalizing marijuana, that strikes a nerve with some of our young people.
Mm-hmm.
No, the truth is that they, you know, have dabbled in and maybe partake in marijuana smoking, and that is important to them. And
mm-hmm.
so you have to find issues that are important to that individual.
Right. Absolutely. But, you know, on the same token, you know, they can be reading up on some Texas Tribune or, you know, something, you know, in the newspapers and everything, and get involved and get up to date on some of those issues as well. Make the effort, really, to get involved and find what, you know, what is their issue? You know, what is their concern about the different laws being presented? And, you know, go on Texas Online and, you know, put in a search word of whatever you're concerned about and see how many laws are coming up, you know, just with that one search word.
Exactly. There are so many websites that, you know, that's a really good idea. I'm going to make a list of websites that offer that information about different issues, like reproductive issues, what bills have been introduced,
mm-hmm.
legislative sessions.
Yeah, there's six.
And there are
in Texas right now that have been introduced.
Six bills? I'm looking at
mm-hmm.
a list of, oh, gosh, almost like 15 to 18 right here in front of me, right here. From the NARAL Pro-Choice Texas website, they have a compilation of anti-choice legislation that's been introduced in this 83rd legislative session so far. I mean, 84th, beg your pardon.
Right, right, right.
So, you know, again, we have a lot to be watching. Of course, the legislature's just now in session, so these things haven't had a chance to go anywhere yet, but at least we have a list of things that we need to be watching for and be very vigilant about that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I hear that there's a congratulations because you're now the president of the precinct. Is that right? Or the
Yes, indeed. And that's what happens when you become active locally. When I started working with local candidates and the local Democrats in 2012, mm-hmm. I dove in and did everything I could, from putting up big signs for candidates all over the county to just everything. I hadn't quite learned the van yet in 2012, but through the efforts of Battleground Texas, I was able to learn the van proficiently this mm-hmm. past election cycle, and became even more involved. And my work, my activism, has been noted by all the local folks. And in December, or beg your pardon, in November 2014, at their monthly meeting, I was nominated to be their next president, and I will be sworn in as the president of the Texas Democratic Women of Caldwell County on Monday night.
Wow, that's so exciting.
Thank you. Yes, it's very exciting. It's not something, I've never held a role like this before, a position like this. This is will be new for me. It is stepping quite a bit outside of my comfort zone. But while I step out of my comfort zone, I will be asking this large group of men and women to step out with me and become very involved with reengaging our community, like I spoke of before. Learning the van, I've already made contact with the state party in Austin, and they are going to send a representative down to our county very soon to teach us how to use the van and how to be effective in our activism, in our organization of our county. And we are going to make a mark on this county in the coming year as I lead these folks in becoming more active and working to turn our state blue, starting right here at home.
Right. Well, and that's the best place to start. Anything is, you know, from your fellow neighbors and your friends and family, right smack where your home is.
That's the only place you can do it. I mean, you know, there are a lot of things you can do in Austin that are beneficial. You can go to rallies. You can you know, show solidarity with like-minded people. You can show support for issues by showing up at the Capitol in mass with a rally. You can meet with your legislator and senator, you know, lobby for issues that are important to you. But you have to, first and foremost, at home, you've got to work. You've got to be out in the community, knocking on doors and talking to people. And not just during an election year, but throughout your days, your weeks, your months. We've got a legislative session going on right now. This is when we really need to be out in the community talking to them about what the legislature is considering passing as law. These affect us all. The laws that they will debate and pass by June of this year, these are the laws that we all have to adhere to. It affects us all, and for the apathy that is spread across this state, across this country, is appalling to me. Really, I understand it, but it's such a shame to me, because we are all impacted. No one is above the law, and everyone has to follow the law. So we should all be interested in what our legislatures are making into law.
Absolutely, and we don't want to be dictated on, you know, well, you got to do this and you got to do that. You know, where is your rights involved with that? You know, you need to get involved to make it your right that to be heard. You know, I use the analogy of the Who in Whoville a lot, but it's true. You know, just one who cannot make loud enough noise. It takes many who's to, you know, get heard altogether.
Yes indeed. But to think that one person can't make a difference is a misnomer, because, I mean, a prime example is I was involved in an accident at a particular intersection that's very dangerous on my route to get into San Marcos from where I live. Was involved in an accident this past summer that claimed the life of a young man. And so I, myself, started contacting state senator, local commissioner, my county commissioner, who was uninterested in helping me, so I contacted another commissioner who was interested in helping me. He was the one, anyways, who was most in touch with the Texas Department of Transportation, and he was able to, just at my request, have that intersection upgraded or put on the list to be upgraded to include a left turn lane. It's a public safety issue, I felt, and so I felt it needed to be addressed, and just my action alone will make for change that will benefit the public at large. And so,
oh, absolutely.
1 point can make a difference.
Right. Well, and then just imagine the power that you had as an individual and multiply that by many people getting involved. Then the power becomes so much more greater. The impact becomes greater.
That is a dream. A dream is to involve people to where they're so involved that these elected officials in Austin have no room whatsoever to get away with any of the dirty backroom dealings that they've got away with all the years past that that cause us to suffer.
Absolutely. They need to pay attention to what we are interested in and, our rights and, not just because corporate America says so or whatever. We need to be paid to and respected as individuals. And I think a lot of that respect has been lost over the years. It's sad. But, if more people get involved.
Yes, indeed. Well, I watched the new senators being sworn in this past week at the Capitol, and they all put their hand on the Bible, and they took the oath to serve the people of the state of Texas. So that's their oath, that's their duty, and we must hold them to that. Because they're fudging. They're not holding up their duty. They're into the bargain when they take that oath. They're really not. If we pay attention just a little bit, we'll see that they're really not holding up their end of the bargain. They're there to represent us above everything else, above the oil and gas industry, above the payday loan industry, above everything else. They are to serve us first and foremost, and they're fudging. They're slipping terribly.
Well, I want to ask you, how do you feel yourself being defined as an activist? What does that mean to you exactly?
It means that every day I do something small, insignificant, or large and very significant to impact the way that this state works, whether it be writing my legislator, or whether it be standing at the courthouse in Lockhart, our Caldwell County seat, with a sign with some like-minded folks to engage the community in the issue of whatever we're standing for at the moment. There be blog. I have a blog, whether it's to be, write a blog and share it with my friends and followers, my contacts. It has to be something. I have to do something every day to address the issues that I find important in this state. That's activism to me. Activism is doing something every day to further fighting back against the oppression that I see all around me in my community and my state at large.
Absolutely. It does require everyday involvement. Of course, you can have your off days and R&R and just kind of recoup and, you know, restore your faith, basically just, you know, kind of get that recharge going. You know, we all need to be recharged every now and then. But, you know, every day speaking out to somebody, you know, discussing with somebody even, you know, issues. Don't be afraid to discuss issues. I think some people are like, oh, well, we don't need to talk about that right now. But we do. Yeah, we need to talk about it.
Politics and religion have always been such taboo subjects, and I have found it very difficult. I wasn't prepared for the challenge that it would be to break that barrier, to just simply talk about politics, just like everyday conversation. I have run into the most uncomfortable situations with acquaintances, family members, friends, over that very subject, which, you know, doesn't stop me from trying, but it's a bigger challenge than I bargained for.
It is, but it's kind of an exciting challenge, don't you think?
Very much so. I mean, when you see so much wrong happening, you know, you don't let one bad episode or one bad experience set you back. It might set you back a little bit, but you rethink how to approach the situation. Mm-hmm. How could I have done it differently? And you learn from it. Go forward and you do better next time. And your next opportunity, you do much better. You approach it differently. You say different words. You're not so forceful. You know, you just point out, you know, and I've found that finding an issue that is personal to a person makes it so much easier to talk about that topic of politics. I've even found my dad is the hardest person to talk about. He will not address the subject of politics with me, which is, you know, it's just the way it is. In his generation, that was just something he didn't do. But, however, I have to say that I finally found, after all these years, the subject that I can actually now begin to talk to him about politics, and that is because he lives in Irving, up in the Metroplex, and has suffered so many earthquakes in such a short period of time recently, and that so many people up there in the area are pointing the finger at fracking. They're wondering if it has anything to do with that process of extracting petroleum out of the ground. You know, so I talked to him because he lived there and experiences these earthquakes. I'm able now to talk to him about the possibility that our state is not doing enough to protect us as the people and our environment from this fairly new process of drilling into the earth for oil and gas. And now he's starting to see that, you know, maybe our elected officials aren't doing everything they should be doing to protect us.
Right.
Persistence has paid off.
Yeah, and there are so many issues that out there, human trafficking and domestic violence and child, you know, kidnapping and environmental things and, you know, you name it. Our representative suddenly needs to be an expert on everything. A lot of times they're not. And so we need to be educating them and letting them know what it exactly it is that we're not in agreement on an issue. Sometimes they may not totally understand the bill and, you know, may not know exactly which way to that really needs to be voted on until we voice our knowledge, right?
And that's why it's so important to be in touch with them. You don't have to be, you personally don't have to be an expert on anything. You just have to be living your life. And what impacts you and your family, your representative needs to know about it. They need to hear from the district of what challenges the families in the district face.
Absolutely.
Or learn, you know, otherwise.
Well, are there any last-minute words of wisdom that you have for our listeners today? Any call to actions that you can think of that they need to do or anything?
Okay. Step into your power. You have no idea the impact that you alone can make if you just step out of that comfort zone with just a little hair of your big toe, just a little bit. The empowerment that you'll receive from you know, one small act, it will be immeasurable. And you just start there and you go from there. And like I said, it's so important to get involved locally. You know, these are, mm-hmm. are your community members. You have issues that your community faces that will bind you together and cause you to empower each other in your work on that topic of local issues. And it just goes from there. But we've got to all be doing something every day, something even as significant as just typing an email to your representatives from the top to the bottom, state representatives all the way up to your congressmen and your United States senators. Make them
Absolutely.
Accountable and know that we're watching them.
Absolutely. And a lot of times, even the city council meetings are open, and a lot of people don't realize that. And you can go in and just sit in and listen to what's being discussed and how it's being discussed and how much time is being spent on an issue when, you know, there's so many other issues out there that need to be heard. And just, you know, get involved, right?
Absolutely. Go sit in a meeting. Go sit in your city council meeting or your county commissioner meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And see what topics they're discussing. Look at the agenda as to what, you know, the issues are that face, you know, the county. Road issues, water issues. You know, we're experiencing explosive growth in the Austin area, and so those issues are on the agenda of every local entity in this area. And, you know, that stuff impacts community growth and transportation and water. They all impact local communities, and you need to be involved in that and be aware of that and do what you can to affect those changes so that they benefit you and your family and they don't, you know, oppress you and your family and your community. Have a say in what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And start by just going and listening. You'll learn so much by just listening and listening to other speakers that have been there and feel more comfortable and confident with getting up in front of these entities and speaking. Listen to them and learn from them and be empowered and encouraged by them. Because it's up to us. We all are the caretakers of our government, and we have to make it work for us.
Absolutely. Well, I'm so thrilled that you were able to come on the show today and, you know, talk with us about getting involved, and congratulations on being the president of Christine and, you know, getting involved yourself. You know, 5 years ago, did you see that you would even be this involved?
That's so
right?
Laughable. No, I mean, this is all, you know, this is really all. My evolution has only happened in 2.5 years. It's amazing to me that I started out the beginning of 2012 just looking at social media and seeing all the hubbub that was being created about these big women's rights rallies all over the country. And,
mm-hmm.
and from then to now, it's just been so much has happened. And on this end of it, I feel so empowered and able to affect some change in this state just because of connectivity with like-minded people in the state and getting involved locally. The fear
Excellent.
Has been removed because of the involvement. I no longer fear the unknown, fear of the things that I've never done before. I've been very empowered by this whole solidarity of finding out so many other people in this community, in this, you know, in the Austin area, in this entire state, feel the same way I do and want to affect change like I do.
Absolutely. Well, I hope we've impacted at least one other person, if not a thousand other people, you know, by listening to this and being impacted and wanting to become more involved. And I so thank you for joining us today and having an influence on our listeners today just to get involved.
I'm glad to be able to be here, and I sure hope that I've made a difference in at least one other person. And like you say, 1,000 would be perfect. But
even better,
if
right.
If another person has been empowered by my story, then I've done my job for the day.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for getting involved today and calling in today and taking your time to, speak out a little bit more today. I can't thank you enough. I really appreciate you and can't wait to meet you next Saturday at the rally.
That's right. We will see each other next Saturday. We finally meet in person.
Yes. Yay.
I'm very excited about the rally next week, the celebration. It's going to be fun to reunite with so many people who I've met along the way and who've become dear friends and who mean the world to me, because we're fighters alongside each other, and
mm-hmm.
we will be victorious if we, continue to fight like we have been doing, which we will. We will. Maybe not this election cycle, which was a big disappointment to me, but we
right.
will in the future, in the very near future, we will be victorious and taking back some control of our strait. If we could just bring mutual balance to our representation,
mm-hmm.
the fact that the Republican Party has a supermajority in this state, that kind of heavy imbalance is not good. We need mutual representation, mutual balance of power in this state between both parties.
Well, and a coming together of ideas, because right now they're just so extreme apart from each other, and I'm more in the middle of the road and on different issues on this and that, but
sure.
but the representation is so far left and so far right sometimes that it's just like, oh, who actually represents me? I don't know.
It's a bewildering feeling when you feel like that nobody's speaking for you.
And all the more reason to get involved, right?
That's the reason to get involved, absolutely.
Some caller just called in. Let's see who called in real quick. Wait. Caller?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, you're a women's rights activist. I want to know what it is that your agenda is, what your particular goals are, and what is it that bothers you the most?
Okay. I'm going to put you on hold because there's a lot of static.
Don't put me on
hold
because you forget about it, and then if I
want to
say something.
I see you, but the static is so loud that
static
I don't
just
know that.
Fixed, right?
Not yet.
No. All right. Well. All right. Go ahead.
I'll be right back with you. Martha, do you want to address that?
Well, what my particular goals are, again, local. My
mm-hmm.
goal is to train the organized Democrats that are working already, that are organized already here in my county, to train them on the VAN, the Voter Activation Network, train them how to use it, to connect with their neighbors, and just start forming relationships with our community in order to reengage them in the process of voting. That's really my only goal at the moment. It's being this off year, obviously also am watching very closely, mostly anti-choice legislation that's been introduced.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching closely to see how far it goes, if it gets to committee, if it gets to the floor of the House. I certainly want to be there to testify.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be there to fight back against it. Those are my goals for the moment. For this legislative session, those are my goals, to start engaging the Democratic women of Caldwell County in activism and work and to watch the anti-choice legislation. That's what bothers me the most about this state, is that these legislators of ours have found it necessary to involve themselves in the private decisions between a woman and her family and her healthcare professional. I have to say, currently, that is what's bothering me the very most about this state. The hoops you have to jump through to obtain an abortion in this state are unnecessary medically and very costly. And, you know, I'm not saying I'm pro-abortion. Obviously, I want to see all abortions wiped out. But you don't do that by enacting the things that this state has enacted. These bans, the necessity for sonograms, those are not the way to cut down. That's going to drive women back into, you know, trying to go find or perform on themselves unsafe abortions that could ultimately cause their death. Before Roe v. Wade, and it will happen again. Abortion is always going to take place when unwanted pregnancies occur in women. That's a fact of life.
And so we need to increase the education, right, and the preventative care.
Yes, in Texas high school, they don't have comprehensive sex education. No wonder our teen birth rates are some of the highest in the nation. Our repeat teen birth rates are number one in the nation. And it's because these kids, when they come into puberty and they, you know, they start being curious about their bodies and they, you know, these are the years they get pregnant because there's no one's telling them how to be responsible with their sexuality. They teach abstinence in Texas schools. That's what my kids learned for a 1 week in a health course. It left them with no information at all on the realities of sex and that it can cause, you know, STD, disease, and it can cause pregnancy. You know, these kids, believe it or not, don't know this. And so, you know, it's become an epidemic in this state, and our legislators seem to be punishing women instead of enabling them to avoid unintended pregnancies in the first place.
Absolutely. Let me see what other question he has, or part of that question. Caller?
Yeah. Okay, so what I'm getting from you is that your particular issue is that you think legislation is being passed or has been passed that would prevent women from making a choice to have an abortion, but not you're against general abortions, but you want abortions under certain circumstances. Am I getting the gist of it?
I believe that women have the right, the constitutional right, it's guaranteed by our Constitution, to obtain a safe, legal abortion under any circumstance. If they find themselves in a situation where an abortion is their choice, then our government ought to get out of the way and let them exercise their constitutional right to a safe, legal abortion.
Did I answer your question?
Well, now you brought up the issue of constitutional right. Where in the Constitution does it give anybody a right to have an abortion?
Well, it's not necessarily a divorce. Okay, well, I'll let her answer that. Hang on.
Well, 1973, Roe v. Wade, very famous case, gives women the constitutional right to obtain a safe legal abortion.
Right.
I was young, but I remember it pretty well.
Yeah, and Sarah Weddington fought a lot for that.
Well, Roe v. Wade, and the original issue was something a little bit different than that. Plus, it didn't give women the constitutional right because the Constitution wasn't amended. It gives you the legal right, which then allows legislation to change the law. But what is the major complaint that you or the hostess really think is an issue that's depriving you of your rights? Other than abortion, is there anything else?
I think it's the right of the of us as individuals being able to say that, you know, that we're not going to be dictated, like the medicine for the girls. I mean, that's infringing upon our bodies.
I don't know.
Don't you agree, Martha?
For the girls.
In Texas, the what was it? Gardasil was dictated for the 12 to 15 year olds. Every girl had to have that vaccination. Is the medicine I was referring to? But do you have anything to add to that, Martha?
My problem is just simply with the government intrusion into women's personal lives. I can't think of any kind of legislation at all in the history of this country that regulates men's health. Why must they involve themselves in our healthcare decisions? It's an issue of control, if you ask me. And I just simply want my government out of healthcare decisions that I might find necessary to make for myself or my daughter. Mm-hmm. It's none of their business.
Very much so. I mean, you just don't get involved with my personal space. You can get involved with my environment. You can dictate about the housing. Which is another whole issue, but, you know, that's another story for another day, but, you know, don't get in my personal space is the main thing. I know I should have some control and some say-so over my body, and I think that's the most important.
The only reason you have some say-so over your body is because the law says you do. If the law allowed men to have a decision-making power into whether or not an abortion should be garnered or whether or not the abortion should not be had, then, you know, then you would have two people who would be in that decision. But the law says you have that decision. So that it's not a God-given right. It's a legislation that empowered women to have that, which most men are waking up to and don't believe in that particular type of unilateral decision-making power that you have. Plus, when you ask the question, you don't know of any legislation that that affects men's reproductive rights. When we don't have the option of having the woman, the wife, the girlfriend, sit down and talk to us about whether or not an abortion is good or not, or even if you do sit down and the woman says, yes, I'll have an abortion, but then she changes her mind because she says, well, it's my body, that's affecting men's reproductive rights. When you have men who have to pay child support for children who aren't theirs, that's affecting their reproductive rights.
Right, I understand that.
Then, Catherine, I would suggest to the caller that he lobby his representatives for some changes in the law that make it necessary for a woman, if that's what he thinks is fair and just, that a woman must, you know, make the man aware before she makes any decision regarding a pregnancy. That's the way it works in this country. If there's an issue that you find questionable or, you know, would like to see addressed, then, you know, take it up with those that can affect that change, your representatives.
Absolutely, and there's got to be some kind of balance because, like, the permission, if you've been raped, for instance, the law about that, to get a permission from the father, before, unless it's a legitimate rape. But when is that determined to be a legitimate rape? And, you know, there's so many undefineds written in that particular, you know, law that's coming up that is really not balance. And there needs to be a balance. I agree. But where do you define this balance? And how far do you go into having a personal right over your own issues, you know, of your body? You know, don't tell...
That's a legitimate concern. I can see where that's a very legitimate concern on the part of a male in a relationship or not. You know, if there's a pregnancy that occurs from an involvement with a woman, I could see where a man would want to have, you know, some input regarding the outcome of that pregnancy. That's fair enough, I believe.
Absolutely, and I would encourage them to come join us and say, look, we need a little bit more definement on this. We
exactly.
need to not, you know, yes, it's affecting women's rights too, but, you know, hey, you know, we as a unified community don't wish the government to get so involved with our personal body choices. You know, let us take care of that between ourselves. You know, let us have this conversation, with our partners. You know, let us have this decision making on our own versus you telling me I can't even go there to have that choice. That's where the line is being drawn, I think.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Certainly.
Anything else, caller?
Oh, yeah. You're talking about government intrusion overall, and the government does interfere too much with the population, both men and women, their decisions on everything. Personally, I don't believe in state-sanctioned marriages or religious-sanctioned marriages. I believe that a couple should get married according to their own particular terms. And you don't need when you were in school, you read about the people in California. They, I think, 1849, something like that, about the gold strike, right? So when people had a claim, they registered a claim with the government. Now that meant that the government was going to be the holder of the claim and just let everybody else know that a claim exists. But what has happened is that when you have to register with the government for firearms, when you have to get married according to what the government says is okay, that is too much intrusion. All we should do is say, I am marrying her, and here's my legal document that shows my document that shows we're married. You can hold it in your office, and if people want to verify whether or not we're married, that's it. But overall, the government is just way too intrusive. It's interfering with everybody's personal choices. Now, one particular choice, and talk about reproductive rights again, do you know, as far as I know, talking with other people, there is no state in the union in which a man or woman can sit down and have an agreement about what should happen when she gets pregnant.
Right.
Now, that's very important. Now, suppose you're going to get married, and your fiancé says, honey, I cannot have a baby, but if I did, I just like you, I don't want a baby right now. I think we should have an abortion. And that is the deal breaker, and you say, okay. And then you want to marry her because you feel she's on the same page with you. Now you get married, she gets pregnant, she doesn't want the abortion, and you have no say-so whatsoever. But yet, my wallet is being transferred to her bank account.
No, I hear you. I hear you. And, you know, there's so many things about choices. But when the government gets involved, then we need to get involved, too. You know, there's so many other issues out there that need to be discussed. The environment, the fracking, the... there's just so many things out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, there's all this about the internet and how much involvement the government's going to get involved with the internet and take away our rights for information. And, you know, the list can go on forever.
But nothing is ever going to get changed if people keep getting hypnotized by the Democrat and Republican paradigm. If you keep thinking that the only two parties which are going to affect change are going to be the Democrats and Republicans, nothing will ever change.
True. You know, there needs to be a louder voice out there. I totally agree. You know, and I had to put him on hold again. That static was pretty loud. But don't you agree? I mean, it's just so much out there to be discussed, and why?
Yes, but I think, you know, I hear people all the time talk mm-hmm. about the two parties and how it's hopeless because they're both the same, and well, they're really not.
That's the problem.
You know, mm-hmm. if you look at each party's platform, and mm-hmm. this is what generally, loosely, they govern from when they do become elected. But, you know, if they are Republican, they loosely agree with the party platform of that state, and the same with the Democrat. And so mm-hmm. there is a difference in the two parties, and the issues that they deem important enough to execute a platform over, you know, what these issues involved in the platform. And so you have to really discern through those platforms which party you more closely agree with, and then, you know, hold those elected officials of that persuasion accountable to what they claim to want, how they want to legislate according to the platform of that party.
Absolutely. And I welcome the conversation from the Libertarians and the Green and whatever kind of color party you have, because they do bring insight to the conversations, and they do.
I've learned so much from Libertarians. I really have.
I'm sorry, what?
I just mentioned that I've met several and have learned so very much from many Libertarians along the way.
Absolutely. My late husband was a Libertarian. You know, it's just, and he really he was very strong in that belief. I kind of, you know, it's really hard to really identify with any singular party these days, because sometimes the issues are so far apart, or the viewpoints are so far apart.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
But, you know, having third-party conversations in there involved, I welcome that. It challenges them.
Mm-hmm. It's exactly.
Any last-minute words, caller?
Yeah. Again, if you're still going to go with either the Democrats or Republicans, and if you still believe that there really isn't mm-hmm. anything the same about them, but somehow they're just a little bit loosely different, and if you're going to go with just one over the other, you'll never get anything done, because they'll always put on the dog and pony show. And there's a two-step process to the electoral process. The first step is getting them elected. So they'll go on the campaign stump, and they'll kiss everybody's ugly little baby, and they'll say they'll do this. Then once they get elected,
mm-hmm.
you said hold their feet to the fire. You can't hold their feet to the fire. Once they're elected for either 2 years or for 6 years, there's nothing you can do unless you have a recall. And then in order to do that, it takes a Herculean effort, because they are beholden to the lobbyists. They're not beholden to you.
Unfortunately, that's true.
Yeah. So you can talk to any senator, any state senator, any federal senator, as long as you want. And they'll smile in your face, and they'll promise everything, and they'll get something done, because they have to show the constituents that, yes, we have this particular smoke and mirror process going on, and we want to placate you.
Mm-hmm.
But unless you can't vote for a party anyway. You should vote for either a man or a woman who's totally honest and is totally rational.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely, I agree.
So forget about the two-party system, and think of it this way. I don't know what states you two live in, but where is it a rational thought that if you live in Idaho, and let's say somebody else lives in Ohio,
mm-hmm.
that some senator from Hawaii will have some input into what's going on into Idaho's and Ohio's business?
Right.
That's a
stupid
process.
Talking about the federal level. Yeah.
I hear you.
But, you know, there needs to be a unification of voices and a unification of folks coming together and voicing their concerns and coming to formulation of a concept that is appeasable on all aspects. And finding that balance, I'm sorry, the static is getting worse again.
Okay, no problem.
Finding that balance is often a challenge and has been a challenge and has what has stalemated our government so far for the past 12 years or more, you know, just really not coming forth with a decision on a lot of different laws. There have been thousands of laws up there that needed to be go through, and they get all wrapped up on particular issue and don't get anywhere. We need some voices to challenge them and to get them motivated to move forward.
You know, Catherine, I understand the distrust of both the parties in our current mm-hmm. political system. I really do. But you know, the fact remains that we live in a country where our government is a two-party system. That's what we have to work with.
Right.
And so my best advice is to, you know, according to the party platforms, read them mm-hmm. and find which party you most closely adhere to those ideals and those principles. And mm-hmm. and then, you know, work for that party, work to elect leaders of that party. Based on, you know, personal observations of that individual person. Of course, not
right.
all Democrats are, you know, great, and neither are all Republicans, if that's your
no.
persuasion. But, you know, of course, there's going to be a rotten apple in any bunch.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
We have to work with what we have the best we can. And
absolutely.
That's what I'm trying to do, and I'm trying to work against that apathy and that distrust that has become
mm-hmm.
so prevalent in our society. I intend to work hard to fight back against that, because we have to work with what we've got, and that is a two-party system. Third parties have historically always failed to gain any ground or make any traction in our political system, structured such as it is.
Right. This is true. Some have made a little headway, but not significantly.
But it's not lasting. It's not lasting. It hasn't really, you know, historically proven that it just, you know, third party has just never been viable.
No, but, you know, their voices are important, just as any other voices are to the conversation. And I think that's what's important. You know, whether or not they just kind of group themselves in a different party, you know, that's kind of a moot point. It's their conversation that needs to be heard. And
we'll have in the upcoming presidential election in 2016, we
mm-hmm.
may end up seeing a very good example of a third party type, an independent.
Mm-hmm.
Bernie Sanders is who I'm talking about, has shown interest in the presidency. Now,
mm-hmm.
when it comes to primary time for that election season, he's going to have to pick which party he's going to run in if he does want to pursue the presidency. He's going to have to either pick the Democratic primary to run in or the Republican primary to run in, because mm-hmm. otherwise he would never be able to be a candidate for the presidency as he so desires.
Right,
so, you know,
because
we'll
of the way the system is currently set up. Right,
exactly.
Okay.
And speaking of Senator Sanders, he's an independent. He's got that I by his name, the senator from Burlington, Vermont. I
mm-hmm.
very much love everything that he stands for. He stands for the people. His interest is not with corporations, not with the big banks, not with Wall Street, but with
mm-hmm.
people, and that's the way an elected official should be. And so I've taken note of him, and I'm listening to everything that he's saying. I'm connected to him on Facebook and by email. I get his updates and his newsletters, and I'm watching him very closely, and I'm really pulling for him. I don't know that he'll be successful in his bid this year if he decides to go for it, but he is saying everything that I want to hear, I have to say.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of key people that are out there, too. The Castro brothers, for example. I mean, there's someone, yeah, definitely people to keep an eye on, too. Very forefront and very people-oriented as well. We had an interesting conversation today. I really appreciate you being involved with that conversation and being involved with the conversation we're having next Saturday. How exciting that's going to be. I just can't wait to be on the ground and be involved with the empowerment, be involved with the excitement, be involved with the people that are really rallying for change. Let's get change going. Let's make our legislators understand we as women, we as people want some of these laws changed. You know, we want more rights of our body. We want to not have so many laws affecting our personal space when it comes to making choices. You know, let us have conversations among ourselves about those choices when it comes to making those choices. As the callers, you know, indicated, you know, well, you know, where is the challenge of the choice being made at one point and then getting married and finding out that the viewpoints are different? Well, you know, that herein lies the problem of, you know, choice. You know, sometimes choice changes over time and viewpoints and everything, and maybe everybody's going to have a prenuptial before they get married, outlining their personal choices. And yeah, I don't know how that's going to look like, but right now, here and now, we are concerned of just having the legislators look at, you know, hello, this is my space, you know, here's my body, you know, I hold my body as a temple, and I, you know, don't want you to dictate, well, I have to take this vaccine at when I'm 12 and 15, when you don't have enough information about the side effects of it, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, I want to have a choice of if I need to get an abortion to save my life, if that's, you know, or, you know, there's so many different reasons out there of having an abortion. And I respect the person who makes those choices, because those are grueling choices. I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. I totally respect them for having, you know, making the choices of whatever they desire. You know, I lean to, you know, having pro-life, but I respect the person making those choices. And I am going to honor their choices, and I am going to not judge them because of what choices they make. You know, and that's why I've come to the middle ground of pro-choice. You know, there needs to be an opportunity for that choice to be made. And that's
without
what
the involvement of the government.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're going to be there. That's why we are going to say, you know, we need to have a voice in this matter. Don't dictate. Don't eliminate the opportunity, right? Because, like, even in the rural America, they have even fewer choices out there available to them, not maybe choices, resources out there. And when they don't have the resources, then their choices become limited. And then they feel they have no option. And then they feel extra control, even more so than somebody in the city that might have a lot more resources available to them.
That's something I see on a daily basis in living in rural South Central Texas. In fact, here is a lot greater than it is in Austin or in the Dallas-Fort Worth area or Houston. Mm-hmm. And it's very clear to me that the choices are much more narrowed when you know, the more rural you become in this state.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I'm so thrilled at the solidarity of people like you and I and the rest of us that will be there at the Capitol next Saturday. You know, we're going to make waves. We're going to continue to make waves to stand up for, you know, our reproductive freedom in this state. And
absolutely.
You know, we joined together to let our lawmakers know that, you know, we're not going away and we will impact change in this state.
Absolutely. And we invite people from other states to come and join us. I don't care where you are. If you believe in this and you believe that you want some choices for your own body, you want choices to be available, and you want resources available in your community that aren't available because of the laws that have been recently made, you need to be out there. You need to be able to join us and share your voice.
Indeed.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate you coming on and sharing, you know, as I said before, you know, sharing your voice and being able to voice your side of things and voice how you became involved and voice some of the ideas of how people can get involved in their own community, and your prime example of getting involved even at the very localist, if you will, the smallest local point of contact that you can is at the precinct, and, you know, just get involved. And I just really congratulate you on your movement, you know, from being concerned about your daughter and the progression over even the last 5 years, you know, within the last 5 years of just really becoming involved. And I congratulate your daughter on becoming involved and speaking out. That is great. I just wish more young people would get involved like that. And I would like to see a lot more of those younger people getting involved and being at a rally as well.
Absolutely. We'll see quite a few young people there next Saturday. Catherine, I so appreciate the opportunity to be with you this morning, and I look forward to meeting you next Saturday.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Do something good for yourself today. And get ready for next Saturday. All right?
Yes,
all right. Thank you so much.
You.
I hope you have a great day.
You too. And bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And listeners, we have still more women activists coming on. I have a survivor coming forth to tell her story. And she's, you know, talking about how the court is involved and sending her children to the abuser. You know, there's more laws, more discrepancies involved out there. So we'll have that conversation on Monday. We will have Penny Dodd join us, Kayla Frawley join us, and more people. I'll leave you with this note. Make sure that you share your voice and that you get involved. And I hope to see y'all on Saturday, next Saturday. And keep joining on this, tuning in to the show. Listen to how people are inspired to get involved. Listen to the stories of survivors. It's very powerful to hear their stories. Oftentimes telling their stories for the very first time and just being there is so impactful. Thank you so much. Hope you have a great day. Enjoy the sunshine if you're in a city that's having sunshine today. Get out there, get involved, and have a good day. Until Monday, keep it real. Have a good day. Bye-bye.